just after 10 a.m. It's time for Ed. Current events, politics, pop culture from Connecticut and beyond. It's Ed Says on the Talk of Connecticut.
Good morning, hello, and welcome. I am Ed, and yes, this is Ed Says. Get involved, 888-574-2723, or at Ed Says CT on Twitter, the email edsays@talkofconnecticut.com. Your thoughts always welcome, whether it is a comment on something I'm talking about, or there's a story you think I missed that I need to cover, do it. I'm lazy. I'm not as smart as I think I am. I could use the help. Looking at today's show, we got a few things on there. We'll talk to Loretta Powers, an attorney with the Weekly Legal. KKK, Kansas's Chris Kobach, gets corrected on his lie. But first, let's look at the state of Connecticut. Is it as bad as we think it is? There's a lot of belly aching. There's a lot of harping on businesses leaving and the taxes. But a new study by WalletHub ranks Connecticut in the top 20 of happiest states in America. We were ranked 18th. Minnesota was ranked number one. I don't know about you, but I would not want to live in Minnesota. They used 28 key metrics, depression rate, sports participation, income growth. It's all there at the Wallet Hub. They do these sorts of things. So what could be so bad, and yet we rank 18th in the nation when it comes to happiness? Well, maybe it's the inability of our leaders to come up with a budget. Maybe it's another company cutting jobs. Alexion moving headquarters, cutting 600 jobs. They will pay back the money that they owe, as they were promised all sorts of money. But I guess the savings they would get from moving would be more. We'll get into that. And UConn in the top rankings in U.S. News and World Report. So, how is it so bad here in Connecticut, and why are you staying if it is? 888-574-2723. Let's go to Mark in West Hartford. Good morning, Mark.
Hey, yeah, it's starting early here. Just think about this. You get paid to listen to me talk, unlike my wife, who always complains. Hey, so, you know how you guys have the best of shows sometimes when you just repeat something classic? Why don't they have the best of Luke Bronin? The guy was on again today. Literally, this is his eighth visit, repeating the same thing. He has no plan. He wants to talk regionalization again. He's looking for handouts. You know, he'll say he wants restructuring. Well, that's what bankruptcy is. I mean, so if that's what you want, since you're not doing it, let somebody else do it. But, you know, it boggles my mind. Remember last week I gave you props for not having politicians on or others with a platform?
Yeah.
So this morning I had to listen to Luke Bronin. Yesterday I got to listen to, and now listen to this, they don't call them head librarians anymore. They had a guest on yesterday. They're a CEO of the Hartford Library System. A CEO. It's a corporation now. She makes $164,000. Okay, so last year when he was looking to regionalize and he was coming to West Hartford, I literally called our mayor, Sherry Cantor. And I kid you not, God strike me dead. I said, Sherry, because I know about the library system. I said, if we share a librarian, you will see a for sale sign on my front yard. And now that it came to light, I love and hate the Hartford Current. But did you see some of the numbers on the library in Hartford?
Hartford Library is the largest payroll of any big city in the state at $5.2 million. And Hartford's tax-funded payroll spread out across 111 employees, 68 full-time positions, 43 part-time, and there are 8 positions that are grant-funded.
It's unbelievable. So we know that Hartford, and they said at no cost to taxpayers, were handing out IDs to undocumented immigrants. Remember that about 6 months ago? But yet, I read here, somebody's getting paid $96,000 to facilitate some type of assimilation by immigrants. It doesn't say undocumented, but let's face it. That's probably the majority that are utilizing.
You're talking about American Place, a free program designed to welcome immigrants and facilitate their transition into their new home city.
Yes, 96 grand for that one. How about, and then of course, there was a great call earlier, and they did say they have what did they term themselves? A customer experience officer. And this woman's making $101,000. Like a Walmart breeder.
That does sound like a fake title.
What's that?
That does sound like a fake title.
But here, we just can't have it both ways. Luke can't come in and steal all this stuff. And in the meantime, you see somebody, I think it was Bridgeport, it only spends like $2.5 million. Now, I know if it's not apples to apples, I get it. But you can't close branches down. This is a good one, because I know, this is why I said it to my mayor, because I know all this. There's 22 security guards that work for the library system in Hartford. Now, when is the last time we've ever saw a story related to a problem with a library?
No, I think it's mostly somebody using the computer for the wrong reasons. Mark, I appreciate the call. I'll continue to detail it as I got to move on to the next call. You mentioned Bridgeport, 65 employees, $2.5 million. So roughly half the employees, half the budget. But Stamford has 3.9, which is less than Hartford's public library's payroll and has more employees. So I'm not sure how they worked it out. When it comes to Bronin, I think the problem is as you said, he's talking regionalization or effectively bankruptcy. What other options are there that really, when you're so far in a hole, somebody else has got to give you money or wipe away the debts? There is no magic elixir coming to fix things for Hartford. It is going to have to be a complete reset. Is he ready to say that explicitly? I don't know, but I don't see any other way out of it. One of the specters floating around falsely last year's election was voter fraud. Illegals voting. If only those 6 million illegals didn't vote, Trump would have won the popular vote. And so much so that Trump put together an investigative team. Chris Kobach heading it up. They're looking into it. And then Chris Kobach got news that he wanted. And in Breitbart last week, he wrote a column that claimed he had definitive proof. Definitive proof, mind you, that more than 5,000 out-of-state voters cast fraudulent votes in 2016, tipping the Senate and potentially the presidential race in the direction of the Democrats. Now, in this meeting with the voting commission that happened in New Hampshire, he called his evidence anecdotal and said he's not sure the right word appears there was fraud when he wrote that. So now he's backtracking. This is after he backtracked on the column but did not admit it was a lie. Meanwhile, he was corrected by two people. So let's see. He claimed there was definitive proof, and then he was corrected by Bill Gardner of New Hampshire, and then Dunlap of Maine. Matt Dunlap, the Secretary of State there, fact-checked everything Mr. Kobach had to say. And even though he's chairing the White House's voting commission, and he is Kansas's Secretary of State running for governor, and is a constant Trump spokesperson, and writes a paid column for Breitbart, he continues to push lies and not apologize, not say, oops, I got it wrong. Says, oh, I missed a word. It's absurd to me. But some people out there will continue to attempt to show that it's that voter fraud is a problem when it's not. I believe he managed to get eight people. Kobach also, if I recall correctly, was one that said there were thousands and never produced evidence in another case. Voter suppression, gerrymandering are the big problems. 888-574-2723. Let's go to Dave in Naugatuck. As earlier, we were talking about how Connecticut is the 18th happiest state in the union. Morning, Dave. What do you have to say?
Well, I think it is. I think the negativity is a lot of that's due to, people complaining on the radio all the time and rather than moving for solutions. And one of the problems we do have in Connecticut is our infrastructure. And the mayor of Naugatuck, who really has been supported often mostly by both parties, I think his name is Hess, he has is working on a solution. We're going to have, you know, the final scene of War of the Worlds with Tom Cruise was filmed in Naugatuck at the Unirail Chemical Complex, which was, of course, torn down immediately after. That's why they had permission to have the Martians destroy the place. And so what we're proposing to do in Naugatuck now is have an inland port where a deal can reach with Pan Am Railways, and we're going to have giant warehouses, and we're going to transship stuff, bring stuff in by rail rather than clogging up 84 and whatnot. And there'll be U.S. custom jobs there, because stuff will be able to come in directly from Newark, at Port of Newark, Port of New York. So there'll be U.S. custom jobs. There'll be lots of forklift operator jobs in warehouses. You know, there'll be three of them. This will put a big part of Naugatuck back on the tax rolls. And so, you know, if we can address some of our serious deficiencies like rail, it's because we're putting sidings in on the Naugatuck rail line, the Naugatuck Valley rail line, and because they're double tracking the trains up, you know, going between Hartford and New Haven and the Massachusetts, it's been possible now for Pan Am Railways to get these agreements to bring this stuff in. But, you know, a lot of people's anger is high school, you know, white working class high school graduates, which really tipped the election to Trump. So this will provide a lot of jobs for people that, you know, good paying jobs for people that don't have, you know, college degrees. And, you know, we complain about losing jobs to Boston and New York, but I would point out that, you know, one of our main deficiencies has been freight rail, but one of our main assets, we don't have natural gas supplies like Pennsylvania, but we do have a great location between New York and Boston, but we don't do anything about it. So, you know, we're losing a lot of corporate headquarters to jobs to states like New York and Massachusetts, which has come to huge toll roads, which certainly helps their overall budget. We have our greatest geopolitical advantage is we're the breezeway between New York and Boston, and we don't get anything from outsiders. We only tax ourselves. We're the only state in the Northeast that only tax ourselves, you know. And I don't want to tax our hotels, you know, anymore, because that is an important source of our economy, our tourism economy. But the fact that we don't even have a long-term plan, and we got to replace the Mixmaster in Waterbury, but we have nobody a long-term plan how to pay for it. And everyone's afraid to touch tolls, but, you know, we're losing corporate headquarters to states that are really prominent for tolls, you know, New York Thruway, Massachusetts Turnpike. These are the states we're losing, you know. And people, I know, and then we complain about taxes, and taxes would be nice if they would come down, but, you know, New York and Massachusetts and Pennsylvania have much higher inheritance taxes. They have higher corporate taxes than we do. So I think it's infrastructure that's hurting our economy. Certainly the quality of life is great in Connecticut. I mean, you know, we all enjoyed shopping this weekend knowing that we didn't have a hurricane bearing down on us, you know.
I know, and that I think tolls are inevitable, and I think it would be a wise move, particularly that if we're traveling, if you leave this state, you're paying to travel, and why be the holdout? Because there are more people traveling through this state that we could be, you know, taxing, and the gas tax isn't enough, especially with cars being more efficient and electric cars becoming the norm. But then apparently the Democrats are floating the idea of a cell phone surcharge, which is absurd to me. And Malloy's saying, you know, he's encouraging anyone with revenue ideas to come forward. Well, I've got a proposal for you. I've been making it public, aside from tolls. Legalizing recreational marijuana is another revenue stream. What we seem to do in this state is find where we can increase taxes that already exist rather than finding new sources of income.
Well, I'm going to be voted, but I'm looking for a governor in the coming time. I'm going to look for a guy with an idea to find ways of taxing people outside of Connecticut. And that, you know, that hasn't happened. I mean, tolls are obviously one obvious way you can shift the burden from people within the state to people from outside the state. And obviously our geopolitical location, you know, is just ideal for doing that, but we don't do it for some reason. And then we go around holding our heads are down and all that. And we live in this beautiful state that rarely ever gets a major natural disaster. Very rarely does your business ever get interrupted by a hurricane or an earthquake or whatever. And you know, a lot of our problems are self-inflicted. We just keep on doing the same thing we've always been doing and wondering why we aren't getting good results.
No, I thank you for the call and the perspective. 888-574-2723. We're talking about being happy in Connecticut. I'm talking about Chris Kobach's investigation into voter fraud, which is a sham. as he was corrected on the facts by two secretaries of state, but he still believes he was right. He told the press he would not correct or retract his article in Breitbart, saying he stands by it, even though he was just 100% wrong about how it works. He couldn't have been more wrong, as New Hampshire does not require people to be residents to register to vote, so temporary New Hampshire dwellers like college students can legally use their current domicile in order to cast the ballot. Resident versus someone who has a domicile there. A computer science professor at Gustavus Adolphus College says he has no business trying to vice chair a commission on integrity while making low integrity comments that are detrimental to public confidence. And it goes into more detail about Kobach and his potential ties to Heritage Foundation and others. It is absurd that this man is heading this commission into voter fraud when he clearly has an agenda, clearly has no ability to admit when he is wrong because he wrote a piece on it and didn't correct it, and doesn't care. He is convinced of the fact, but he is wrong. Absolutely wrong. And it is absurd that people continue to parrot this idea that something happened. To be fact-checked in person and have lies exposed and then not say, oh, I was wrong. And so, you know, he says, you know, maybe that he wrote it appears there was fraud. Like, it just blows my mind that this is what we're dealing with. People who are unable to accept reality because it doesn't line up with what their desires are. Were there cases of election fraud? Yes. I will say yes. Were there statistically significant examples? No. Because what's the point? There is no win here when it comes to it. So you vote, the 6 million people that allegedly voted illegally, what do they get? What, they get favorable policies to them as illegals? And how long does that take? For a government that can't get anything done, according to a lot of people, these people are certainly voting to get something done for them, and when and how. I just don't understand it, and I said it from day one, this committee is a sham. Kobach is a sham. It's ridiculous. And the fact that more people aren't upset about it, they should be focusing on gerrymandering and voter suppression. If you have it easy enough that you can walk to your voting place, you probably don't think about it. You don't think about how your district's set up. You don't think about how some people can't get to their voting place because they've shut down a number of them in their state. And it's now been made more difficult to have their voice heard. Got to look outside your own experience. 888-574-2723 at Ed Says CT on Twitter. The email, edsays@talkofconnecticut.com. Coming up, we're going to wrap up with whatever you want to talk about. We're talking about how we're happy here in Connecticut as well, even as some businesses leave. And we'll take a look at the latest release from Apple and the absurdity of that as well. That's next on Ed Says. Well, yesterday was a big day for Apple cultists as they released the iPhone 8, skipped the 9, and went right to the iPhone 10. And yes, it is the 10. Don't call it iPhone X. If you watched anything, all the promotional videos, the presentation, it is the iPhone 10. That X is a Roman numeral. Stop calling it the iPhone X. Pre-orders start October 27th. Get excited. And November 3rd is when I guess you can get it. Oh, it's a new phone, edge-to-edge 5.8 display, OLED, 64 gigs or 256 gigs, anywhere from 1,000 to 1,150. With their Super Retina display, glass front and back, no more home button. They've got, now they're going to have wireless charging and unlock your device with your face. And they say the chances that another person could unlock your device is 1 in 1 million compared to 1 in 50,000 for the Touch ID fingerprint sensor. that their sensor or other people's sensors. This is all technology that has existed elsewhere. I don't understand Apple cultists, but I guess I do. When I think about it, Apple is the Fisher Price of cellular phones. It is bright buttons, well, touch screens with icons that explain it to you simply, and you don't have to think about it. You plug it in, they force you to do everything. You have no control over it. You have to use their ecosystem, and that's fine. It's like going on a roller coaster, whereas I prefer more control. I would rather drive a race car where I'm in control. I can make the tweaks and mods that I want. I can make it the color I want. I can remove the roof if I want. I can do all sorts of things because it is mine. This is just my personal opinion. I don't think Apple will ever be giving me money because I don't buy their overpriced nonsense. Because rest assured, that's what it is. One of the big selling points to my adult friends are the animated emojis. Oh, man. It's... Yes, the emojis will now animate. So congratulations. And, good luck with your face ID when you're wearing... It says it'll work with hats, so it won't work with pictures. Ladies, good luck with your makeup. And now, with no button, you won't have touch ID. So you'll be using face ID a lot. It will be interesting to see how that works. And maybe if you're sleeping, will someone be able to use it of you? I don't know. These are all questions that I have. They say chances are 1 in 1 million. People get excited about it. And I think the most absurd thing about this whole release is not only the price. And you're talking to a guy who spent not quite that much on his new phone. But there are perfectly good phones out there available for the third of the price. And there isn't anything here that says to me, this is a step forward. We are now moving into the very small increments of improvements. But the best part, the most absurd part out of all of this is you will no longer call them Apple stores, or they won't. We will. Normal people will call them Apple stores, but Apple wants to call them a town square. No, it's a store. A town square is a public place. A store is not a public square. And my cultist friends, I am excluded from a group text because I use a different operating system. Because my green texts, for whatever reason, are so disconcerting to the children that I call friends that I have been excluded from it. And probably for the better. Because I see the vast majority of them when more frequently than I probably should. And I also see them often enough. Some of them I don't see but once a year. And sometimes that's enough. And I don't need to be, you know, awoken at 3 a.m. when one of them is out hammered doing silly bits. So it's nice to be excluded from that. But their entire basis is that my green texts look weird on their screen. Who do I just not spend enough time on my phone to be bothered by this and excited about animated emojis? I must just be getting old. Or I just don't get that caught up in it. Like, I don't need the phone to sing and dance. I just need it to deliver the information. I don't care what color the text bubble is. But this is the culture that has been created around this product. And my friends are simple people. I guess that's what motivates them, is that their group texts all look the same. I'm not sure what it says about their psychology or the idea that this new phone is anything impressive. And again, this you can clearly tell that I am not an Apple fan. And that's fine. Everybody has their preference. I don't not text people because of their phone preference. Just my friends do that. I pick bad friends. It's just seemingly my burden. 888-574-2723. Speaking of commerce, and perhaps one day in those Apple town squares, the people that work there, the geniuses will be replaced by computers. As in fast food shops, you will be seeing a robot, most likely, replacing employees. as a burger flipping robot will grill meat in 50 fast food restaurants. Cali Burger is the place all over the U.S., also in China and Sweden and other places. It's going to introduce a burger robot in 50 of its locations. The assistant is known as Flippy, designed by Miso Robotics. Specializes in, quote, technology that insists and empowers chefs to make food consistently and perfectly at prices everyone can afford. So our burger flipping robot overlords are here, and as long as those burgers are delicious, I'm in. It's a cart with wheels, one arm, and moves around. It's like a self-driving car, they say, rather than an assembly line worker. Uses feedback loops to reinforce its good behavior so it gets better with each flip of the burger. It's got an algorithm that allows it to pick uncooked burgers from a stack and flip those already on the grill. We saw this coming. Is it less expensive than having employees? Will people take to having... I mean, this is what the Jetsons promised us. Soon there won't be restaurants, will there? It's just going to be a pill. You don't even have to stop to eat anymore. Now, this is supposed to be a kitchen assistant and will not entirely replace human workers, not yet, as a human still has to prepare the cooked burger with cheese and toppings and on the bun. So Flippy seriously just does that, flips. I don't know how much they're spending to get this robot in 50 stores, but it will be interesting. Over the next 2 years, they'll be in these 50 Cali Burger restaurants. Now, there are 2.3 million cooks currently employed in the United States. And the CEO of this company admits that this will put them out of jobs. I feel like a robot that flips might eliminate one person while the others are delegated other tasks in the kitchen. As it said, it can't assemble them or anything. But this is our future. Apple town halls and robots flipping our burgers. 888-574-2723. I talked the other day with a concussion specialist, and I asked, about, is there a responsibility as a person to not watch the NFL over concussions? And then I came across this article by Sean King, who I have many an issue with, but I can disagree with people and still agree with them at times. We don't have to agree 100% on anything. And his headline is Boycotting the NFL, and it is not over concussions. It's over the fact that Colin Kaepernick is unemployed. When you have someone like Aaron Rodgers saying that he should be on a team and saying he's probably not because of his protests. And the interesting thing that he points out is the owners who have come out who have said that they genuinely hate him. League executives have openly admitted that they genuinely hate him. How you can hate someone for nonviolently and silently protesting someone is absurd to me. The idea that your day is ruined, your enjoyment of a football game is ruined over one individual in a stadium of thousands kneeling in protest. That kind of mindset I can't get into. And I haven't watched a football game this year, and I certainly won't pay to go to one. I checked the score via Google the other day to see how my terrible Washington team did. And come to find out, they lost as always, and that's fine. And I've learned that I can live without it. If you are someone so upset about someone exercising their right because it offends your sensibilities, I want you to think about that. You're letting it ruin your enjoyment. At least he's got the fortitude to deal with the consequences. Guys without a job, arguably a top 10 quarterback, depending on who you ask. I'm sure some of you will say, no way, because blah, and he hates America. No, he doesn't hate America. He sees that there are things that need to be dealt with. And rather than protesting in a way that would upset people more, he does it the way that everybody's been told to protest, silently, politely, peacefully, and yet you're still mad. Owners are still mad. Some of those owners contributing to Trump's campaign. Over what? A guy saying, hey, maybe we should take a look at things and how some people are treated in this nation? Well, if you're one of those people upset by it, I hope your team loses every game left in the rest of the season. That does it for today's show. I will return tomorrow at 10 a.m. Thanks, Derek, my producer, for pressing buttons. Have a great afternoon.
The views and opinions of Ed Says are no reflection of the talk of Connecticut or Connoisseur Media. Ed Says is strictly from the brain of one crazy person named Ed, who, for some reason, we still pay.